Last year, thousands of opponents of ousted Prime Minister Thaksin Shinawat, sporting yellow T-shirts, took over Bangkok's two airports. The move shut down the country's airlinks for a week and severely damaged Thailand's vital tourist industry. They claimed victory when a pro-Thaksin government was forced out by a court ruling. Now it is the turn of Thaksin's backers, who are besieging the government of Prime Minister Apisit Wichachiwa, which took power 4 months ago. A new state of emergency was imposed after red-shirted protesters, much to the government's embarrassment, broke into the venue of a Southeast Asian leaders' summit in Pattaya Saturday and forced the meeting's cancellation. Some analysts believe the two camps are divided by economic and geographic factors. Matt Gherkin, East Asia analyst for the private intelligence firm Stratfor, says that Thaksin's supporters are primarily rural and poor from northern Thailand, while his opponents tend to be middle to upper class and urban.
I think that the driving factors behind the kind of ceaseless convolutions in their politics are deriving mainly from the provincial and rural base and its contests for power with Bangkok and the urban base.
But other analysts are concerned that the current upheaval is symptomatic of deeper divisions within Thai society. Duncan McCargo of the University of Leeds in Britain is one of the leading Western analysts of the intricacies of Thailand's politics and society. He says portraying the unrest as a clash between the urban rich and rural poor oversimplifies a complex situation.
What's going on here is that Thai society has been split down the middle, and down the middle doesn't just mean between particular parts of the country or different social classes, although that's one dimension of it, but down the middle means families are split, husbands and wives can't talk to each other about politics, people who've been childhood friends and meet regularly, socially, and have done for decades can't really get together anymore.
Thaksin, a billionaire who was accused of corruption and ousted in a 2006 military coup, is now calling for a revolution. Matt Gherkin says the two main institutions of enforcement, the army and the police, are split.
In general, it's safe to say that the military is, for the most part, anti-Thaksin, while the police, the national police, have been relatively supportive of Thaksin. In part, that's because Thaksin was formerly a policeman, and in part, that's also because there's always been a tension between the national police and army, at least in the last 50 years in Thailand.
In some past political crises, the country's constitutional monarch, King Bhumibol Adulyadej, has intervened. The king has no power, but is greatly revered and wields enormous moral authority. But the king, who is now 82 and the longest-serving monarch in the world, has been silent. Why hasn't he intervened? Duncan McCargo says the king must be careful about how he uses his influence.
The difficulty is that monarchy can't get out too far ahead of public opinion and popular sentiment. If you were to try and make that kind of intervention in a very highly polarized situation like this, it would be dangerous for everybody because you haven't got the basis of the national consensus. It's very difficult to reconcile those two groups of people. Any sort of intervention that was made by a member of the royal family would struggle to adopt a middle position, and without adopting a middle position, you're only going to have the potential to polarize things further.
Former Prime Minister Thaksin has been broadcasting nightly to the protesters from exile, spurring his supporters on as the crisis deepens. Gary Thomas, VOA News, Washington.